when I do these homily series, one of the things that I do is I kind of do a little summary, because some of you may not have been at one of my masses last week. But also, we record these homilies online. So if I do a series of homilies and you say, I kind of missed one, please go ahead and listen. There's a way of kind of following along. I started this homily series on virtues last week, and I'm going to go through this 7 weeks going through the virtues. And last week, I also had some statements. By the way, the virtues are what makes you you and what makes you human. But last week, I talked a little bit about I gave examples of 3 examples of hypocrisy and 3 examples of Christians changing the teaching of Christ. And I said that both were shocking, but the first not as much as the second. Because hypocrisy is the tribute that vice pays to virtue. It means that we've fallen short. We know what we should be doing, but we're not doing it, right? But what happens when Christians begin to change teaching of Christ to conform to their own behavior, they forget what virtue is. So we're going to be looking at these virtues, the virtues that God has revealed to us, charity, faith, hope, love, faith, and hope, and those that we can know by our own reason, prudence, temperance, justice, and courage. Like last week, I talked about how we talked about love, we talked about charity, and how the lawyer got Jesus' question. When he turned the question back against the lawyer, he said, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, well, to love God with all your heart and all your being and all your strength and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yes, you've got it. You've got what is the heart of the law. But the radical thing, the revolutionary thing, and I'm going to be in these homilies saying that the Gospels have something revolutionary to say about the virtues if we listen to them. The revolutionary thing that Jesus said about love was that we are called to love like God, to love compassionately our enemy. Because in a sense, all of us, by our sin, are an enemy of God. Not that God has made us our enemy, but we've made ourselves the enemy of God through our sin. And he loves us anyway. And that's how we're called to love others. And that's revolutionary if we really began applying it to our life. Now, what we're going to be talking about the gospel today is one of those gospels. We're going to be talking about it through the virtue of temperance today. But the gospel today of Martha and Mary is one of those that sometimes ticks people off on how it gets interpreted. Because sometimes it's been interpreted as kind of affirming the life of the monk and the nun over how most of us live, which is, kind of a life of activity. And so, this is the one where they praise Mary for calmly sitting at the feet. Meanwhile, somebody's got to get dinner on the table, right? So I want you to hear this gospel a little differently today, as we're going to read it through the gospel of through the virtue of temperance today. Now, there's another virtue that we need to talk about in this gospel. It's the virtue of hospitality, and the church wants us to pay attention to hospitality because it's actually framing this gospel with the first reading today, where Abraham is showing hospitality to the 3 strangers. And hospitality is more than just a word of welcome and offering some food and drink. Hospitality has been defined as opening your heart to another so that you can encounter them on their own terms. Henry Nouwen, who's one of my favorite spiritual writers of the 20th century, said that hospitality is a means by which we move from hostility to friendship. So both Martha and Mary are practicing hospitality. But why does Jesus praise Mary and call Martha to something different? It's not because she's doing the work of hospitality. Something else is going on here. Like Abraham, Abraham looked at the three strangers and he offered them hospitality because he could see in these three strangers God himself. I know in our translation today, in the first reading, it said, sir, but that, please do not go forward. But that's not actually the word in Hebrew. It's Lord. The same word that you only use for God. See, he recognized in the stranger God himself. And so providing hospitality, he encounters God. He lets God be who he's going to be for him. And what happens in that encounter is that God fulfills the promise of the covenant that he made with Moses, with Abraham, that he would give him descendants. So in the encounter of hospitality, there is a deeper encounter with God. I really believe that every parish in the Catholic Church, especially those in the United States, need to urgently cultivate a spirit of hospitality. As we welcome people, you have to imagine what it's like sometimes for people who maybe have had an experience. Imagine this. Somebody comes into the church and nobody cares whether you were here or not. It may not have mattered to anybody that you were here or not. You feel anonymous. And I can imagine that some of you don't even need to imagine it because you've experienced it. Now, I'm not saying for everyone, but that's one of the reasons that I'm committed to hospitality, as part of this parish. It may not be the most important virtue, but if we don't practice that, if we don't become known for that, people are not going to stick around long enough to hear the rest of the gospel. So it's one of the reasons I've committed myself, before and after Mass. I'm there out in the commons greeting folks for about a half an hour before Mass, and I greet people after Mass. But I'm also hoping that over this year we can build a culture of hospitality in the parish where we're greeting people out in the parking lot, where there are teams of people in the commons, not just me, but greeting people at the door of the church. And that greeting continues when you come in here, that you're willing to introduce yourself to one another, that you're not anonymous sitting next to one another. And you might even do this, take a breath, actually ask the other person, is there anything you need me to pray for you today while I'm celebrating Mass? Can you imagine what would happen in a community if we just did that simple act? Just leaned over your neighbor and said, is there anything that's going on in your life that you want me to pray for you today? And by the way, I have this going on in my life. Would you pray for this for me? See, we're supposed to be a school of prayer. That's part of what a parish is supposed to be, to practice that kind of hospitality. Now, Martha and Mary were practicing hospitality. But again, why did Jesus correct Martha? Again, it was not because she was about the business of hospitality, but it was something else was going on. We need to listen to the gospel. What is Jesus' words? He says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things. See, Martha was using hospitality to do something else that hospitality is not meant to be. She was not using it to encounter Jesus under her own terms. How many of you I've done this. I'm terrible at this. Sometimes I'll invite people over to the house, and I'm working to get meal on the table, and everything's going on, and I absolutely spend hardly any time with my guests. Okay? So that's actually when hospitality crosses the line. It actually can become a vice. Why are we doing that? Is it so we get a reputation for being hospitable? See, this is where temperance comes in. And this is what I want to kind of interpret this gospel. You might think about temperance and you go, how does temperance play into this? Because temperance usually is how we moderate our senses, you know, our sense of touch, of hearing, of taste, of smell. I'm going to miss one. Sight. Thank you. Sight. So how do we moderate those things? And there is something about that. Because we know that all of those good things that our senses can touch and feel can sometimes be so powerful in our lives that lives can get destroyed when we are not moderated. Anybody who's ever struggled with an addiction to food or drink or drugs or sex or pornography, any of those addictions, knows that it both ruins lives and ruins relationships. And so temperance is that virtue, that habit that we practice. Remember, virtues are habitual way of acting according to who we are, who we are called to be. And temperance is that virtue that we practice so that these good things, you know, all of those things that I mentioned are good. Well, not pornography, that's a different issue. But all of those other things are good. But it is a virtue that we practice it so that we know what the bigger good is, what our final goal is. Because the real good of our life is not to be possessed by these things. It's rather to be possessed of the very life of God, of holiness. See, that's what our real purpose in life is to fall in love with God so that we become like Him. That's what holiness is. So sometimes with temperance, we need to say no to good things in order to have a balanced life. Sometimes we need to take or to say, well, this is a good thing, but I'm going to take less of it than I really want. And there's a reason for that. It's so that when I realize that my real need is not for these things, my real need is for God. And then sometimes we need to practice temperance as well, because we need to develop a discipline, because although we might not be tempted this particular time, there may come a time when we're really tempted by real dark sin, and we need to have those muscles exercised so that we can resist that sin at that time. See, Martha and Mary were both expressing hospitality, but Martha got it wrong. Martha was worried and busy about many things. But Mary chose the better part. So I want to leave you with two questions today. I would like you to take with you over the week to ask yourself, how do I use the goods that God has presented me in this world? Do I use them as a means of recognizing Jesus? Do I use my taste, my smell, my senses, my touch? Do they reveal God to me? Because God is in everything. And that's how we're supposed to be using our senses. Or do I need to practice a little temperance in order to make that happen? And the second is this. Do I sometimes do good things for non-virtuous reasons? Okay? I'll give an example of this that most comedians say. You know, it's good to have peace in the house, right? But sometimes when the kids are going crazy, parents are no longer interested in justice because they just want peace. Okay? So maybe we need to practice justice a little bit too, and not just peace because we want it. So what do I do? What is a good thing for a non-virtuous reason? Because when we can encounter Christ, when we have that experience of that hospitality of Christ, we encounter ourselves in the other person. Remember when I talked about hospitality here? That's not just supposed to be a method or a technique of getting more people to church. It's so that we can encounter Christ in the other person. And I'm asking you to ask yourself those questions for the same reason. How do we encounter Christ this week in other persons through the virtue of hospitality and temperance?